Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. It's been a while, but I'm going to try to catch up in 4 weeks, just to make up for the one I missed. I've been to California on business. I'm trying to get caught up on podcasting. I was able to release a CCP, which is the Kickstarter stuff and all the other stuff where I featured Kickstarter books and Bad Idea, because it's kind of like an outlier you can't get in previews. So did that. Gotta stay hydrated. It's a nice day. It's Friday, and I got out of work somewhat early. Went to go wash the car because I had a lot of dirt on it. And now I'm home. I'll probably walk Harley again today. But I got a Amazing Spider-Man 42 in the mail today. I got a Night Hunters number 42 is the first appearance of Mary Jane, first full appearance. I think she might have like a little one panel thing in a pre another issue. But this is kind of like her first full appearance. And I also got on from eBay Night Hunters number 2, which was a book that I had ordered on DCBS, but they haven't filled it yet, and I got number 3 already. So my concern is they're going to cancel it and say we couldn't get replacement copies or whatever happened, we're shorted. And I didn't want to take a chance because I really liked Night Hunters number 1. So that came in. Not a lot of back issues, other than I purchased a lot of X-Force lately. I'm trying to fill that run, and we'll see how that goes. I want to fill all my X-books because I feel that, in general, the way the industry's heading, that all the key appearances of all mutants, once Marvel gets a hold of them, are gonna just skyrocket, and I might have fill them while I have a chance before they get outrageously expensive. So I've been working on my X-Men, my X-Force, my X-Factor, and all. I just finished Cable. So there's a handful of stuff that I've worked on. I'm looking at finishing my New Mutants. At some point would like to get to Alpha Flight because I think that's gonna be coming up soon. But I don't know. Most of the Alpha Flight that I'm missing though are towards the tail end when it started to really not be as popular as it was in the early stages. So if anything's expensive in the back half of the Alpha Flight catalog, it's because of rarity, like low print runs, which you always have to watch out for. Another thing I like to report is the Invincible animated series is just absolutely fantastic. I'm almost caught up. I today they released the finale. They've renewed season 2 and 3, and we'll see how episode 8 wraps up probably tomorrow when I'm exercising in the morning. Be curious to see if they wrap up his father's story arc. We'll see. I finished a show called The Head on HBO Max. That was really good if you're into mystery and isolation horror, because it takes place in the Arctic, and Harley's full of seed. So you may lose me for a bit because I have to take all the grass off of her. But she goes outside because it's warm. Rolls around in the grass, and we have a lot of dead grass that she picks up and brings in. So that's not fun. But trying to think of what else I wanted to talk about. My LCS went in this past week. He's been getting me a lot of the variant covers for crossover and stuff. And I don't know if you're aware of this if you shop at DCBS, but there are additional Spawn covers that are not Jason's Campbell or the Campbell covers for the Spawn Universe books. One's a McFarlane, and I can't remember who the other one is, but they're listed in the order form that I saw at the LCS, but they weren't listed in previews, so just you gotta keep an eye out for that stuff. But I made sure I had ordered a copy of those because I've been getting all of the McFarlane covers, at least the ones that I can get. Sometimes if there's a 1 in 50 or 1 in 60, I don't get it. I did get the 1 in 60 or 50 on one of the spawns, and it looked incredible. It looked like an art page. So like if I take a picture of it, it looked like it was a Capullo page that he did on one of those comic pages for the cover. It looks like I own the cover. That's how awesome it is. So that finally came in, and I was real happy with that. Kickstarter wise, a new Trekker came in. What else came in besides the Trekker? I probably lost track. But a new Trekker came in and an original art piece came in, which featured, I had him, Randall, draw me a Judge Anderson from Judge Dredd. I was trying to think of a good, solid female character, and I really didn't have Anderson yet, and I was kind of teetering on a Golden Age female character, which I've been poking around on art pieces lately, but I decided I wanted to get a Judge Anderson, and that came in. I also picked up two toys at Toys R Us. They have the Flash Gordon line. They didn't have the Phantom or Mandrake, and then there's another character that I don't even know who he is in that line, but I was able to get Flash Gordon and Ming the Merciless. They were quite expensive toys. They were like $30 at Target, so they're like the 6-inch figures. But I guess because of the rarity of them and where they the price point, because of low print runs and they don't make as much as Star Wars and Todd McFarlane, that the price is $10 more or a few dollars more than usual. And then I picked up a John Stewart Green Lantern. I already had an animated John Stewart, but this is more of a realistic John Stewart. And a Wonder Woman from Dead Earth. I try to buy every Wonder Woman. I'm still missing the Death Metal Wonder Woman, but for those of you that know, I love my Wonder Woman, and I do still try to buy as many Wonder Woman toys as possible. I have a lot of dolls and plushies and all kinds of stuff when it comes to Wonder Woman. But I was also listening to Rob Servations, which came back for season two, but the episode prior to that, well, actually, it was the penultimate episode, I think, prior to that. He had a really great discussion about like ghost artists. Like he was like farming out in 1994, roughly 95. The inking work, because his guys couldn't do all the art and the inking, and he was doing it with an overseas kind of like broker that had a headline artist, and he wouldn't say who that headline artist was, but let's just say for the sake of argument, it was like Diodato Studios or something like that, and it probably is not him, but it was somebody, and they said that he would do a certain percentage of the inking. So that means he would do like 25% of the inks. But they had brought over him and a couple of other artists that were from that studio, with the translator, and they talked to Rob, and Rob brought out all the pages, and he asked that big time artist, "Did you do this? Did you do this?" And he was like, no. And then he said, "I did a part of the face here." And they kind of like lied to him about what this guy was gonna do for them, because he knew that this guy was working for Marvel, and he didn't say the name, but I don't know who it was. He said it was a big, a well-known name, but I would hate, I wouldn't know who to guess who it was because he didn't give the name. But anyway, that studio, as those artists went back and they went to, LA, and they were like, "Man, they're not paying us anything." Because the brokers were taking 70% of those artists' income, and they were just paying them 30%. So those artists got together and kind of said, maybe we sh with the translator, a translator, maybe we should ask Rob if he can switch. It was just an interesting. I highly recommend you check that episode out. I always find that podcast that there's a couple of gems in each podcast that I wasn't aware of. Like I knew that there's a lot of ghost artists. Like I even have a friend that is an artist, and he's drawn my book, and I saw him ghosting on another independent comic for somebody else, and I was like, "Wow, I didn't know you drew that." And he was, "Well, I don't. I'm a ghost." So it's interesting about ghost artists. I'm always fascinated by it. And then, like, if you had the Neil Adams studio continuity, a lot of times you'd have a Neil Adams product that looked like him, but it wasn't always his work. So it was the studio that was producing it. And they have that kind of thing going on at like manga as well, other countries. And so it's pretty fascinating. So I'd recommend listening to that Rob Servations. And he's back with the new Rob Servations season 2. The new one I haven't finished listening to, but I'll probably listen to it on my walk today. Was talking about the Shang-Chi property and com Marvel comic books in the 70s, and how Bruce Lee sort of sparked an interest in martial arts. And that was really interesting so far. So, having said all that, I think I'm going to jump into the weekly reads and get some of these knocked out. So, I'm going to try to do 4 weeks. And well, this is for February 1st through February 7th of 2021. We had two notable shows slash movies. I rated the movie Black and Blue a 4 out of 5. That is about a black female cop that gets caught up in a drug deal, and then she's hunted by cops and the drug dealers. It's pretty good. Enjoyed that quite a bit. I think I watched that off of one of our movie channel records on the DVR, so I didn't stream it like most stuff. And then Money Heist, which is a Netflix show. This is, I believe, season 3 at the time. One of the best TV shows that I've streamed and watched, Money Heist. So comic-wise that week, I had a very low output. I always consider low below 30, so I think I was below 30 almost all these weeks. I only had 14. I had 6 Marvel, 5 Image, 2 IDW, 1 DC. So that, having said that, I only had 4 out of 5s. There were no 5 out of 5s, there were no 3 out of 5s, and there wasn't anything below that. And just to remember, the scale is 1 out of 5, I hated it. 2 out of 5 is I didn't like it. 3 out of 5 is I liked it. 4 out of 5 is I really liked it. And 5 out of 5 is I loved it. So all of these fell into I really liked them. So the 4 out of 5s were as follows, going from bottom to top. We had Let Them Live from DC Comics. This is a DC Direct. It hasn't been in print. I am hoping that they collect a trade of this and or put it out in singles, because some of their, digital firsts are come out as singles later on, like Sensational Wonder Woman, and there's going to be a Justice League Unlimited by J.M. DeMatteis that'll be coming out. So they do some of the digital firsts later on, like Truth Justice, I think, is another one. They put them out eventually in print. I hope they keep this one, because this is a hosted by Ambush Bug. And the whole concept is really interesting, because Ambush Bug hosts stories that were inventory stories. And what an inventory story is usually when a fill-in writer and artist and team come in to do a story in case the regular team can't keep up with the schedule. And they put these away, they file them in. The inventory stories often end up coming out in annuals as a backup, or things like that. Sometimes they just get put in the vault and forgotten. Well, the idea of Let Them Live from DC Comics is they write new story. I don't know who writes the. I can't tell you who the writer is that writes the Ambush Bug part, but I do know the artist is Mike Norton. And the writer writes very much in the vein of Ambush Bug, and Ambush Bug always talks to the audience. He was one of those guys that broke the fourth wall, or whatever you want to call it, before, Deadpool and a lot of other characters. There was always Ambush Bug. And I hated Ambush Bug when he first came out. I didn't get it. I didn't find it funny. But as I got older, I found it hilarious, and I love the Keith Giffen stuff and appreciate all of it. And Ambush Bug is really a fantastic character. And there's a lot of humor there that I just didn't get, and I get it now. But Ambush Bug hosts a Suicide Squad story where Harley and Deadshot are told to go after the guy that created the bombs that go into their necks, and it doesn't end well for that guy. But it is a very interesting story. Amanda Waller had those two go after that guy. We had Deadpool Merc with a Mouth 1 through 3. I heard about this from Robservations and became very interested in reading this. These ones I don't own. So Let Them Live was digital. Deadpool Merc with a Mouth I read digitally on the Marvel Unlimited app. I don't own a lot of Deadpool, because recently I fell in love with Deadpool probably about a 2 years ago, when I read some of the Gail Simone Agent X, which was a Deadpool rename, and there was Soldier X. The Deadpool one I really loved, and went back and read a lot of Deadpool, and just became. Robservations influenced me quite a bit in liking Deadpool. But this is Deadpool's hired by AIM to go after an artifact that's a weapon in the Savage Land. He finds out that Dr. Debbie, who's really sexy, is in the artifact is in the Marvel Zombie land, and the artifact is the Marvel Zombie Deadpool head. Well, actually, it was in the Savage Land. So, I'm sorry, I have to clear my voice. Got a lot of phlegm. I do get the that kind of in the spring, when everything's blooming, and I also get it a lot in the fall. So it's something that I can't control. But anyway, they have to go get the Deadpool head in the Savage Land and fight AIM and who was the Hydra. So you see a lot of dinosaurs and headhunters, and K'Zar and Sabu are in there, and it turns out to be a really funny, well-drawn, I think Bangdazzo drew it. I can't remember. Let me look up. The art is really incredible in this book. It has like a Deadpool Merc with a mouth. Bangdazzo and Ed McGuinness draw this, but it looks really incredible. I really like the art. And then we have Cable 37 through 39. I read these digitally, even though I had just acquired the print. So I must have been reading a lot at night during this week, which when this happens, it's usually a trend. It usually means I'm having a lot of nightmares and waking up, or I have anxiety and waking up and I can't get to sleep, so I read a lot of comics on the iPad. But we had Cable and Domino try to help Kane. You remember Kane? He had his own action figure too. They find out Kane is with Copycat, who was the character that impersonated Domino in those very early X-Force issues. Psycho Man is after the cybernetics in Kane to try to take to the Microverse and make an army to rule, but he takes Copycat instead. So he's actually was originally after Kane, but took his girlfriend, Copycat. Cable and Domino and Kane go back to stop Psycho Man. And if you don't know who Psycho Man is, he's a Fantastic Four villain that has technology that can control emotions. So very much power set driven, like the Purple Man. And then they have the help of the Micronauts, which are Ran, Mari, and Bug. All of those three characters, I believe, are not the toy. They were created by Marvel, and Marvel owns them, which is interesting. The Micronauts have a set of characters, Bug being their most famous character that Marvel created that the toy company doesn't own, I don't think, or have the rights to. Maybe they do have the rights. I know when IDW acquired the license to Micronauts, you never saw Bug. Were some of the characters that we knew from the Marvel team. You did see more of what was released in the toys. Kane and Copycat go back to Earth in search of peace with humanity once they actually fight and stop Psycho Man with the help of the Micronauts. So that was really fun. That was Cable 37 through 39. Then we go to IDW. We're just talking about Micronauts IDW. This is Napoleon Dynamite, number 2 and 3. I had read one quite some time ago. And I was at the storage unit getting out some books, and I decided I love Napoleon Dynamite. As a matter of fact, I watched Napoleon Dynamite at least 10 times a year. That's how much I like it. Full times, and that doesn't count all the times where I catch it midstream and just watch it. I don't know what it is about that movie, but I absolutely adore it. And in this one, you know how Pedro won the school president. Well, in this one, they're accused, you know, Summer is accusing him of faking the ballots and all that stuff. So Pedro is being attacked for having won a false election. Pedro and his girl Debbie try to help. Also, Uncle Rico is wanted for murder of the former quarterback in his high school. I would highly encourage you to seek out these comic books, because did you get the Alexa message? No recording. Maybe there's a package out front and I need to get it, but we'll see what she says. So the next ones we read was Spawn 199 to 200. This is the end of the arc of the Jim Downing Spawn. And I adored this. It took a while to grow on me, but I absolutely adored this arc. Check front door for package. So I'm going to pause this and go get a package. I'll be right back. All right, I am back. We were talking about Spawn. And in this issue, it's like the penultimate issue, and then 200 comes, but New York is manifested by bugs. And the final battle with Jim and the symbiote, which is he's kind of like fighting with himself, yields the return of Spawn Al Simmons, which is the Spawn everybody knows and loves. And Sam and Twitch discover the secret of Jim Downing numbers. It's pretty cool because it sort of relates to his coma and dates and all this stuff. The bugs are forming and they're like just attacking New York. In planes and ships and stuff, they can't even get into New York because these bugs are everywhere. They try, and then the bugs like just build a wall. Like it's just fucking insane. Really good Spawn issues. As a matter of fact, that's what got me excited to get back into Spawn is when Jim Downing was actually Spawn, because Jim Downing goes back to the early issues of Spawn. But why I liked it a little bit better is because Todd McFarlane was writing, and he was writing it like X-Files. Like it seemed like it wasn't like a lot of superhero stuff, but it was a lot of supernatural and weird stuff. And he'd have like two or three plot threads going on at the same time, and I really liked it. Savage Dragon 248 to 250. The Vicious Circle invades Canada, and Malcolm's friends from Dimension X come and help. Maxine wants to have an orgy with everybody that's in the house. She's insane. She's a sexual, her hormones are always raging. Maxine's mother's sex tape is out, so I guess it comes in the family. She had sex with like a robot guy. The Vicious Circle kids attack Malcolm and Maxine in the bedroom as they're having sex. They kill three members of that kid group. In a lot of COVID days in Canada with shelter in place, the deadly duel. In which Kill Cat always fights the wrong person and Kid Dynamo saves the day. Mighty Man's story paying tribute to Captain Marvel. So those were backup stories in that particular arc of Savage Dragon. So again, there were no 5 out of 5s, but the top books were Savage Dragon and Spawn. So then we'll get to February 8th through February 14th. In terms of TV, a 4 out of 5 was Bull. I caught up on some episodes of Bull, which is a show that we watch or DVR on. I don't know if it's CBS or what station has it. I think it's CBS. But we've always enjoyed that show. It's a lawyer type show, but very similar in plot. Some ongoing threads, but you pretty much get episodic episodes, so you kind of can watch it at any time. And then the 5 out of 5s were Money Heist in a movie called Greta, which I remember it coming out at the theater, but I had no idea what it was. And then I did research on it. We recorded it on the DVR, and I absolutely loved it. The 5 out of 5s were Money Heist and Greta. It stars the actress Chloe Martinez, or I can't remember her full name, but she's the one from Kick-Ass and Hit Girl. She played Hit Girl. she plays a waitress who's trying to find her way, like, without her dad and trying to find her way. And she lives with her best friend in the big city. And her mom just passed away, and she's dealing with all that, and she runs across an older woman who becomes infatuated with her, and she starts acting like her mom, and then it gets really creepy. So if you like stalker movies and stuff like that, highly recommend Greta. But let's get into the comics. There were a total of 21 comics. There were four Source Point Press, three Red 5, three Image, two IDW, six Dynamite, two DC, one Aftershock. We'll start with the 3 out of 5s. We had Angela de la Morte, Volume 1, number 2 through 4. Angela just had surgery on her soul. This is the one that took place on the moon with the monkey. It was very weird. And she had all the evil extracted from her and stored on the moon, where she's recovering with the company of a genius monkey named Zebra. But they won't be alone much longer. The Flu government want the lunar base for them, and they have finally arrived. Angela de la Morte has become the most important prisoner of the Fluo government. But the devil is in her, transforming her. So why are they keeping her alive? She tries to escape with a man, but the government shoots them out of the sky in a helicopter. She leaves the monkey and the guy who saved her from the moon behind, only to find the weird house and a strange family who deliver a gray matter baby from her because she was pregnant. It's so fucking weird. And I started volume two, you'll see in the future, and it still stays really weird. And I think the new previews that just came out this week has another Angela de la Morte prequel. So it must be doing somewhat well for Red 5 to have three volumes of this, even though I think that prequel is just a one shot. We got Knock 'Em Dead from Aftershock. This is a struggling comedian who lives with his sister who keeps failing. One night, another comedian gives him a ride home, and they end up in a deadly car crash. I wish instead of symbols, when the guy's actually telling bad jokes, they actually told the jokes, because you'll get a sense of how he's bombing, but you don't get to hear or see the jokes, and it's one of the reasons I think this series didn't rate a 4 out of 5 for me. So a 3 out of 5 is means I liked it, but I think it could have been a 4 out of 5 if they just changed some of the execution beats. Again, sorry for the allergy. We got Floppy Cop number 2 through 5. This is from Source Point Press. This is a comedy. Floppy Cop and his partner try to find out who Crossword is. He's blowing up building and causing a lot of problems. Turns out to be a kid who aged out and of being an orphan. That's interesting because I just saw that Chess TV show, and there's a character in there that aged out of being an orphan. One of these cops is having dreams of a pretzel soap opera, which is very adult-oriented and almost like pornographic. The sexual retirement home, this was great, helps Floppy Cop and his assistant solve the crossword puzzles. Highly recommend this if you're into like humor and if you like that keep on truckin' symbol. It kind of looks like Floppy Cop, except he's always in that position because his spine just can't form. Like it has no he has no spine. It just kind of like flops around. That's why it's called Floppy Cop. Firepower trade paperback prequel. This reads like a lot like an Iron Fist. It's almost like felt like a pitch that Robert Kirkman would have had to Marvel to do an Iron Fist book, and then he just like tweaked it and said, "I'm going to have firepower." But this is a man goes to a monastery in the mountains to train to find more about his family. He really becomes a superior fighter, and one day they are invaded, and he can access this firepower. Cut to the future, like the Iron Fist. Cut to the future, and he is a family man. Now with a family. It felt derivative of Iron Fist story, but was entertaining. Looking forward to where it is going because it felt very different after the origin story, which this was. So we'll see if it becomes its own thing. We had Spawn 314. So you could see I was jumping around of reading some back issues and then coming back to the present. Jumping back to the present, Spawn is captured by Monolith. He's a real cool-looking Spawn-look character. And brought before a Mega Spawn. A Mega Spawn wants him to retrieve information from Cog, who he has trapped in a hole. And then Redeemer shows up at the end to stab a Mega Spawn in the leg. And then in future episodes, you'll see that a Redeemer and Spawn are working together. We have Future State Dark Detective number 2. We learn that Bruce is living with a conspiracy theorist and hiding under his roof. The daughter comes to visit Bruce and the father a lot. We get a brief flashback to understand how Bruce survived and why he's thought dead from the magistrate. The backup is Red Hood, is hunting down masks, so he's almost working for the magistrate and bringing them to the magistrate. He captures the vigilante. He then teams up with Rose Ravager. And Rose is the Deathstroke's daughter, Rose, on a mission, and he finds out that he is one that is wanted. So the tides have turned, and although he was working for the magistrate, now he's the one that's being sought after by the magistrate and hunted. We got Images of Shadowhawk number 1. This was the Keith Giffen story of Shadowhawk. Shadowhawk breaks the back of Blowhard, who is going to testify against the mafia. Someone sends Trencher to kill Blowhard, but Shadowhawk gets in the way. The first run in Shadowhawk's armor barely makes it as Trencher shoots him the hell up. That's funny how I worded that. Shoots him the hell up. Hellblazer number 1. John Constantine has to team up with Lester and Papa Midnight to take on the demon Menomoth. The demon is causing people to die of starvation by eating things to death. One guy ate a bunch of Golden Age comics. And I just want to make sure you understand that I switched to the 4 out of 5s at the floppy cop. The 3 out of 5 ended with the knock 'em dead, and I have to go back to let Harley into the house. She gets too hot in the sun and then wants to chill out inside, which I'm surprised it's fairly cool in the house considering the temperatures were pretty high today. I am getting the munchies, which is not good. It's so early, it's only 4 o'clock. But I want to eat something. But then I get Napoleon Dynamite Valentine's Day special. Napoleon tries to find out what to do for Deb on Valentine. Pedro tries to get the courage to ask out a girl as Napoleon tries to train him to be a man. Napoleon and Pedro end up spending Valentine's Day together as Deb is at a crafts fair. It's pretty good. Episode or issue. We have Napoleon Dynamite number 4. Pedro is acquitted as Summer's boyfriend is the one who sabotaged the ballot box. Pedro turns over president to Deb. Napoleon and his friend work to get Uncle Rico off of his murder charge. It's his female friend, I forget what her name was, to get Uncle Rico off from the murder charge and do when they find the killer is Napoleon's new dojo trainer. So this turned out to be a fight between I forget the actor that was in the Drew Carey show that plays the dojo guy, but he's the dojo trainer, and Napoleon had a, went to a new dojo guy. So the one dojo guy was in the movie. That's when Napoleon Dynamite was training with Kip. There was a little Kip stuff in here, but I can't remember. Oh, Kip and his LaWanda came back from where they were, because he went back to where she lived, at the end of Napoleon Dynamite, they came back to try to help Rico, and I think they did more damage than actually help Rico until Napoleon and that girl actually found some stuff. We have Mars Attacks, Red Sonja 4 and 5. The leader of the Martians finally defeats Red Sonja and her group with Green Sonja. He captures the princess, and the princess's little girl and her associates. He keeps resurrecting Red Sonja on different bodies and kills her again and again. Green Sonja thinks she deserves a warrior's death and attacks the head Martian with Red Sonja as she gives her body back. The young princess in training kills the leader of the Martians. Cut to the future, the Martians are going to attack again. We then have another Dynamite book that's a 4 out of 5. We have Dynamite, and that's D-I-E, Namite, Valentine's Day special. And this focuses on what Dynamite is. It's like Marvel Zombies in the Dynamite universe. So this says Peter Cannon tries to figure out how to hook up with Red Sonja during this zombie infestation. She tells him maybe later, and she is getting over her dead lover from issue number one. So it's pretty much just the infatuation issue of Peter Cannon Thunderbolt. And you're like, who's Peter Cannon Thunderbolt? Well, Peter Cannon Thunderbolt is Ozymandias of the Watchmen. So all the Watchmen were derived from the Charlton characters, and Peter Cannon seems to be the one. Although DC acquired the rights to the Charlton characters like Blue Beetle, Captain Atom are the most popular, Nightshade, they seem to lose interest in Thunderbolt. But there was a comic book around the time, slightly after The Question, and Blue Beetle came out with their series, and Captain Atom, they came out with either 7 issues or 8 issues or 12 issues, Captain Peter Cannon Thunderbolt comic at DC Comics. And then we haven't seen him for a while until Dynamite started, so he might be in the public domain. And I think the Charlton characters are in the public domain, which makes it weird. But I think DC has licensed the likenesses and origins and histories that they have. So I think things are kind of weird, but that's where Peter Cannon is, for those that don't know who Peter Cannon is. And he just had a series at Dynamite. We have Dynamite number 2 and 4. The retirement home that Miss Fury is in is zombie attacked. Superpowers, that's the Project Superpowers, to the rescue, but then they become infected. Almost infected like all of the superpowers. Red Sonja and Smiley. Smiley is Evil Ernie's button. And if you don't, you're like, why are Chaos Comics characters in Dynamite? Well, Dynamite, from what I understand, acquired the rights during the bankruptcy of Brian Polito. So Brian Polito owned all of the Chaos characters, Evil Ernie, Lady Death, Purgatory, Chastity, all the characters that you see at Dynamite now, and lost them all in his bankruptcy. And the only one that he was able to maintain and keep was Lady Death. So if you go to Coffin Comics and you see him in previews, you'll still see him printing Lady Death. And Lady Death has had an interesting run too, because Brian Polito, at the end of Cross Gen, there was a Lady Death series being published from CrossGen, so it's been around the block. But Smiley is the button that Evil Ernie wears, and I forget who the character is that became Lady Death, but there's a character that is sort of like Dynamite's version of Lady Death. Red Sonja and Smiley have to make it through the portal and end up on Bossoon. And for those of you who don't know what Bossoon is, that is John Carter, Warlord of Mars's world. with Vampirella and Deja Thoris. Deja is bitten by John Carter and becomes a zombie. Vampirella and Red Sonya teleport to Earth. Taj, Peter Cannon, and Miss Fury are trying to survive the attacks of the Project's superpowers. So they're almost like the only ones that are left in those issues. We'll go to February 15th through February 20th of 2021. We'll start at the bottom, and the only thing I recorded in terms of TV slash movies is a movie called I Care a Lot. And I cannot remember if this is on Amazon or Netflix, but I will take a guess that it's on Amazon Prime. And this was actually a scary situation, especially as I get older. It is about a woman who manipulates old people and gets them to be court ordered to go get taken care of by her company because she deems them to have dementia or some kind of, and she works with doctors to make this happen, even though the older person doesn't have dementia. And she attacks one of the women that's involved in sort of a mafia. She messed with the wrong older woman, and that woman is played by, I forget what her name is, but she is the woman that plays the mother in Lost Boys. She's been in a, I want to say Heesh, but that can't be right. She also was in the movie Parenthood with Steve Martin. She was Steve Martin's sister, if I remember correctly. The one that had Leaf Phoenix's as the son. But anyway, those old, you older people will know what I'm talking about. But I lost track of where I was. Oh, I care a lot. Well worth seeing. A very good movie. There were a total of 23 comics that week, which was I don't even remember if I said the week, February 15th or February 20th. I did. We had 3 out of 5, so I jumped right in and started reading the Angela De La Morte, Volume 2, Number 1 through 3. The two organizations with the Flow government and the one that Angela is working for get into a final battle. Angela goes to the moon to get a scythe weapon and ends up saving her child. Her child was the one that was born out of that gray matter at that weird family's home that had the child for a while while she rescued her child. They come back down and are attacked by everyone is slaughtered except for Zebra. Zebra is the monkey, by the way. Angela and her son. So you got the monkey, Angela, and her son. A very strange sci-fi story where people can travel to the moon by letting their soul go into other bodies on the moon. It has to do with this gray matter and how they can port. It's very strange. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. From Image Comics, we have Wildstar 1 through 4. Wildstar gets a time-traveling device to leave his future, where he's pursued by bounty hunters to go back to Earth many years earlier. It is kind of like a Terminator story, where he goes into the past to stop alien races from decimating Earth. He removes the symbiote, and that symbiote is like a star. It's almost like a starfish on his chest. Kind of like Starro, except Starro is actually on people's faces. He removes the symbiote and gives it to his younger self. So it does have an appearance of Savage Dragon, where they do battle because of a misunderstanding. And that's what led me to complete actually this series, is because I was doing a query on Savage Dragon appearances, saw that he had that, saw that I didn't have this, which is weird because it might be something I had. I have Volume 2, but I wasn't sure I had Volume 1, but I'm almost positive I read Issue 1. So it might be one that I just didn't inventory, because my initial inventory was in a notebook back in the day. And what I did was I took that notebook, and I might have missed a few issues and such, but I put it into my first iteration of Comic Base. Maybe there was one before that. I just remember that my first comic book database was on 3 1/4 floppies. So I've been on a database for my comic book collecting for quite a time. Some people may be listening to this, they're like, "What the fuck is a 3 1/4 floppy?" Is it 3 1/2 floppy, or was it 5 1/4 floppy? The 5 1/4 floppy was bendable, and then they became the smaller ones that were looked like a disc, but they were you'd pop in there. That was WildStar. Then I rated a Malibu comic, Battle Zones Dream Team 2, number 1. Did I tell you the totals on this? I don't remember saying the totals. There were 23 comics. Red 5 were 3, Image 4, 5 Marvel, 1 Malibu, 6 Image, 1 Dynamite, 4 DC, 2 Behemoth, 1 Ablaze. So the one that's Malibu is the Battle Zones Dream Team. I'd claimed that I finished Malibu a long time ago, and then ran across an ad when I was reading a Malibu comic about this. This was around the time that Marvel acquired Malibu, and I didn't know what Battle Zones Dream Team 2 was. There wasn't a Dream Team 1. I don't know why this is called a Dream Team 2. But what this is it's pinups by some really great artist depicting battles of an Ultraverse character versus a Marvel character. It was really a lot of fun, but it was a pinup book. One that I needed to acquire. We have Let Them Live, number 2. I remember how I found out about this thing. I got it from mycomicshop.com, but there was a fad I went through where I was doing these Facebook auctions for comics. And I would always look at what this one guy had for auction, and I saw this in his auction, and I'm like, "What is that?" And then I put it on my want list, and that's how I acquired it. From DC Comics, we have Let Them Live 2. That's that Ambush Bug series we just talked about. But this introduces us to a Nightwing story where he's diving out of a plane with a bomb he took from a robot, Saint Dumas. A robot from Saint Dumas. If you know Saint, the Dumas stuff comes from the Azrael religion. He has to stop a bomb as well as find a way to survive the huge drop. He has a calm open line with Damian, Barbara, and Batman. Turns out to be a really good done in one Nightwing story. So I'm finding these. I think I've read 5 of these Let Them Die, and I've liked every one of them. Really liked most of them, 4 out of 5. One of them was like a 3 out of 5. I didn't care for, it was all right, but it wasn't the best. It was a Kid Flash one, which we'll probably talk about in the future. That was the one I didn't really care for, but all the other ones, there was a 5 out of 5 Let Them Die too with the Batman story that introduced a library serial killer, which I really like that one. But we have Star Trek number 1 from 1989. This was the, it wasn't the Baxter series, but the new format Star Trek. This Ambassador Klingon puts a bounty on Kirk. Kirk tells Bones he misses a woman, but he's referring to the Enterprise. They go to rescue an alien who is running from his own people, but they cannot save him. And then we get into the series that was before the new format series, Star Trek number 1, 1984, that had George Perez cover. After Spock's death, Admiral Kirk asks for the Enterprise back and goes to investigate where the Federation ship was destroyed by Klingons. The Klingons are setting a trap for them in a wormhole. Kirk does not treat Savik well, as he expects too much from her because of her of the loss of Spock. So this takes place after Spock's dead and Saavik is in there. If I remember correctly, Saavik was played by Kirstie Alley from Cheers. We have Dynamite number 5. The button is attached to Sonya, and she's in battle alongside Peter Cannon when the button tells her Peter is infected. Evil Ernie describes how he left hell. It's HEL, and that's a female. That's the female that I was talking about. That's like Lady Death and the button. I'm gonna come back because I have to let Harley out again. So we'll get back to Dynamite in a brief moment. Like, why do you let her in and let her out? Because she's the alpha and I'm the beta. Barb's the alpha of the household. Harley's the beta and I'm a Charlie. In terms of ranking. But we were talking about the button. Taboo becomes the death-defying Taboo, which is like the death-defying Daredevil, and fights alongside Vampirella and Miss Fury. And you got to remember, Miss Fury is like an 80-year-old woman in this series. Red Sonja's heart is pulled out by one of the Project's superpowers, and she becomes infected with Evil Ernie. So there's not a lot of people left. Sonja kills Hell, which is kind of like Lady Death, and then wants to kill all life. To be continued in Dynamite Lives, and that has been solicited. So check it out. I think it's called Dynamite in the Army of Darkness because it has Ash from the Evil Dead series. Necromorphous number 2. This is from Behemoth. The main character describes. He's the one that decides to get the bones of Shakespeare. If you remember this guy, he could get the bones of a dead person and kind of assume their look in their lives or their memories. But he does Shakespeare because he wants to impress a girl he cares about because she loves Shakespeare. He loses control of his body to Shakespeare. Also, he abandoned his German psychiatrist in a car. When they were rear-ended, they rear-ended a very popular actor. Also from Behemoth, we have Hotline Miami Wildlife. This is based on a video game. Mike owns a convenience store and kills two Russian guys that want protection money. Later, they blow up his store and he becomes a waiter. He goes out at night and kills Russians until one night he is caught. And a young Russian helps him, but then kills him and takes his identity. So that's really strange. I think Mike isn't the character that was at the beginning of the series. I think he's a different character. So we have Shadowhawk Gallery, number 1. This was a gallery of Shadowhawk, and they might actually have been in the Shadowhawk card deck. But it's images of various creators and includes like Mark Teixeira cover, which was supposed to be in the images of Shadowhawk number 4. Whatever happened, the images of Shadowhawk was supposed to be creative teams writing arcs of Shadowhawk. And the first one was Keith Giffen. And when Keith Giffen left, Mark Teixeira was supposed to take over, but that never happened. A nice factoid there. Also includes a Trencher and Shadowhawk story, so it's not just pictures. It has a Trencher and Shadowhawk story, which continued from images of Shadowhawk, where Trencher's partner Phoebe, this is the computer that helps him out, is helping out Shadowhawk. It's to be continued in Shadowhawk 2 series, where it is renumbered to double digits. We then have DC Comics, GI Combat 221, POW. I don't know what I'm writing here, where soldiers have to box. Oh, it's a POW camp. I spelled cape. That's why I don't know what I'm talking about. It's a POW camp where soldiers have to box a Nazi asshole. another Nazi helps him take out the leader, but he's a real jerk because you have to let that Nazi win the fights or he'll kill you. So you're like in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. GI Combat have to show an actor the rounds, and the actor can see General Stuart, which is really weird because it turns out he was dying, like, of a disease, and he saved the lives of the crew of the tank. And then there's a story of a lucky cat saves a private over and over again. And then Jeb has to go to an island to take out a tank and is trying to destroy the Sherman tank on a boat. The tank has to protect a bunch of donkeys. This is another story with the supplies going to a regiment before the crew can get some R&R. The donkeys end up protecting them. And then there's a bank robber loses his son in a war and goes to war to break the safe with Nazi codes. That was a dollar comic, you know, when GI Combat was a dollar and it was almost like a war anthology. You probably had like three GI, you know, Haunted Tank stories, and then the rest were just like sort of inventory stories that we talked about. All war stories, World War II stories. We had a new Shadowhawk number 1 through 3. Police Chief Arturo Reeves is haunted by Shadowhawk. He is trying to take on a gangster, Antonio Scarpelli, and he and his men and try to, or Scarpelli and his men try to kill him when he is saved by the new Shadowhawk. Gives the backstory of Paul Johnstone, who is a DA and injected by the AIDS virus. That is the first Shadowhawk. So the first Shadowhawk died of AIDS because somebody injected him of AIDS. It was almost like a Two-Face, a modern-day Two-Face story. He then has to with Christina Reed, who was a cop in the first series, and a new female mercenary kills a man who is well protected. She is hired by the Scarpelli to kill Shadowhawk. In this issue, Tome is a new character that was Mikey, a geek-looking guy at a bookstore. Chief Reed confronts his ex-partner, Louis Jax, over dinner and blames him and says, "You're Shadowhawk." That guy leaves the table, and then he thinks he's Shadowhawk, but later on he appears next to the detective, and he's like, "You're not Shadowhawk." And Shadowhawk is fighting a Glortich slime creature. Jack shows up with a black eye while Shadowhawk is fighting Glortich. So he's Sums and Reed reunite over the grave of Paul, which was the original Shadowhawk. The back of the issue has a great letter in the back with and photos from Rob Liefeld's wedding. Trophy goes hunting for Shadowhawk. The police chief has ruled out just about everyone being Shadowhawk. There is a strange link between Tome and Shadowhawk as Tome makes his way through history discovering multiple Shadowhawks. Tome plays a big part. You'll see like Viking Shadowhawk. You'll see Western Shadowhawk. You'll see all kinds of different versions of Shadowhawk. Very good series. I finished this one fairly recently. Images of Shadowhawk 2 through 3. We were just talking about it briefly. The Keith Giffen series I finished. Trencher and Shadowhawk still at it fighting, and Trencher gets cut in half, but he's able to regenerate himself and blows up the hospital where Blowhard is, so Shadowhawk actually failed the protection. And then that series is continued in Shadowhawk Gallery and then continued again, so you might see how Phoebe is still working with Shadowhawk, which is kind of like Trencher's computer in the Shadowhawk 2 series. We then get to some more Deadpool Merc with a Mouth 4 through 8. Deadpool, Dr. Betty, and the Zombie Head reunite with AIM and then get attacked by Hydra. The AIM ship blows up and Deadpool and Dr. Betty escape with the head and send the bomb to Hydra. They are now headed back to Earth, but Deadpool does not want to take the zombie head of himself and cause the death of Earth. So they go to Florida, to the Nexus, where Man-Thing is thinking and can use it to take Deadpool to the heads, to the zombie world, essentially Marvel zombies. They go to alternate Deadpool worlds where we see Deadpool Kid, Major Deadpool, and Lady Deadpool. There's a famous kiss with that, where he's sort of kissing himself. But finally, Dr. Voodoo shows up in Florida to give them a portal to Zombie Earth. They then fight with Zombie Moon Knight, Clover, and Tigra. Clover, if you don't remember who that is, is the character that was in Contest of Champions. In Contest of Champions, the first incarnation, you learned about a lot of different characters like Arabian Knight. They were trying to create heroes in every continent, and Clover was Ireland. They rescued by the resistance of humans with no way to get back because the portal closed. So that was the last of the 4 out of 5s, and then we jump into the 5 out of 5s, which is one of my favorite comics, and one of the comics that I actually keep up with. Gung-Ho, Sexy Beast. This is volume 2 of Gung-Ho. Archer tries to help a girl from getting raped, only to be banished from the colony. Zack and Yuki try to help him, but cannot. And what the series turns out to be is, since he's banished, Zack wants to save his brother and prove his innocence. But he is innocent, and it seems like the woman that runs the colony knows that he's innocent, but still banished him. He is a rebel, and she doesn't like him, but it kind of sucks. We then get into the final week from February 21st to February 28th. We'll start with the movies. The 3 out of 5 movie is Happy Death Day to You. This was a sequel to Happy Death Day. I enjoyed it, and it was fun, but it really just was like reliving the first one over again with different circumstances. So I gave it kind of a low score, but I still liked it. The 4 out of 5 that week was CBS's Clarice. Really enjoying that. That's from Silence of the Lambs, the Clarice from there. And then 5 out of 5 that week was Money Heist, just keeping going through there that week. We had a total of 26 comics that week. One Vault, one Source Point Press. I lost my sheet. Four Marvel, one Keen Spot, three Image, one IDW, 10 DC, two Dark Horse, one Boom, one Behemoth, and one AWA. Starting with a 2 out of 5. Wow, I hadn't had a 2 out of 5 in a long time. But we have Transformers Beast Wars, number 1. This is the early years of Megatron and Optimus, as Megatron steals an object and is pursued by Optimus Prime, and it shows the origin of the Beast War characters. I haven't had a big history with Transformers. I dip my toe in, I dip my toe out, I go in every now and then. Wasn't crazy about this Beast War thing, but I'm still buying it, so maybe it'll grow on me. I have issue 2 and 3 to read to see where it goes. 3 out of 5, that's Ninjas and Robots. It really is a 5 out of 5 in terms of art, but the story, there's not a lot of substance, and that's why I gave it a 3 out of 5. I said it's wonderful to look at, but this issue did not have a lot of substance. It's pretty much a group of ninjas that are drawn very strangely, like in a Mafute art style, and fighting robots. So if you like ninjas and you like robots and you like just a bunch of fighting with not a lot of plot, you will love this book. I love it, and I tend to buy all the covers. I don't do that for a lot of things. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. We have the new Eternals series. Icarus is resurrected along with others and has to fight Thanos. He gets beat pretty bad. We find there is a traitor among them. The story about how Icarus asked a young boy to watch for a deviant monster because he had a vision. That boy dies, but he has a son, and then that son has to watch the beast, and it keeps on going. And then it goes to the grandson, and then the vision that Icarus finally had comes true with the third in line, but you lost the son, the father, the son, and now you're on the grandson, and it sucks that they died trying to look out for this monster that never appeared for Icarus, and his vision really was, it was a really good story. He saw was his grandson, so he wasted his entire life waiting for a monster so he can report it to Icarus, and it never showed up. We have Avengers Mech Strike. This is sort of like strange creatures, kaiju are showing up, and the Avengers have to build armored suits to fight them because they can't just fight them as themselves. The art is incredible because it features the art of Carlos Magno. If you ever read Boom's Planet of the Apes, you will love this book because Magno drew those. He's really an incredible artist. Keep an eye out for him. Future State Superman of Metropolis number 2. John takes on Brain Cell, which is like a brainiac, with the help of Kara and returns Metropolis back to size. Mr. Miracle is trying to survive being attacked by machines and gets teleported to War World. Guardian rescues Jimmy from Mary. We have Norse Mythology number 1. This is from Dark Horse. The story of Yggdrasil. And then the story of Loki taking Thor's wife Sif's hair. Really like this. It's kind of like reading a fact book, but it's interesting. It's not like reading Thor when there's a lot of like plot lines and stuff. This is kind of like you're just reading a story about Norse mythology. It's like you're reading a fact book of Norse, like if you were reading about the Roman or Greek things in a history book. This is sort of like that, but in comic book form. I have to end this soon because I just have a lot of phlegm. Have the 2020 number 1. This is not a lot of substance in this one, but I liked it more. I originally gave it a 3 out of 5, and then after discussing it with Bill on Geek Brunch, I boosted it to a 4 out of 5 because I realized this really had a lot of substance that I wanted to talk about. So a woman fights a big mama kaiju. She's got big old breasts and shoots lasers out of her nipples. It feels like one of those 24-hour comics where a comic creator sits there and tries to stay up 24 hours and put out a full story. And it's his tribute to like what happened in 2020, like it was a shit storm. But the more and more I looked at it, the more and more I enjoyed it. And it's a lot more visual than text. We have Future State Superman, Worlds of War number 2. Superman is going to fight Mongol's world. Mr. Miracle ends up on War World and confronts Midnighter. Midnighter's trying to help Superman with the help of someone who turns out to be Apollo. A new black racer emerges on War World. A young girl tells another from the Superman cult how important Clark is to her as Superman fights in the arena on War World. Midnighter says Apollo is not Apollo and fights him. We got Bug Bites number 2. This is Source Point Press. The kid finds out other kids are taken to Bug World to be eaten, so she tries to work with the kids to try to find her way out. This one's a really fun story. This is an issue, a lot of issues that show up in here, including the next one and Norse Mythology, were issues I had missed, and I had placed a My Comic Shop order issue to fill a lot of books that I was missing, and Bug Bites was one of it. I missed number two. I don't think that was a fault of my own. I don't think it was solicited properly in Diamond. We have Dark Interlude number one. This is a sequel to Fearscape, as the sister of a famous author is supposed to get the rights of a book, but the daughter will not give them up. She then has told to go after the author in jail that murdered her father, and he turns down working for the publisher because they're trying to hire him in prison. Meanwhile, all hell is breaking loose in the Fearscape. I never finished, like, Fearscape number one. I think I gave a 5 out of 5. I thought it was brilliant. And then I had just got this in my comic shop. I didn't know what it was. From Vault, and I decided to read it, and as I was reading it, I was like, wow, this is the sequel to the other book that I read, Fearscape. So it was kind of weird reading it out of sequence, because I never finished the first volume, but I decided to push through and finish the story. We have Legions of Super, because we were covering on Geek Brunch, and Bill Bomer did the same damn thing I did. Legion of Superheroes Volume 9, Number 12. The final battle of the Legion with Rogel Czar and Mordru. Seems like Bendis had to wrap this Great Darkness story a lot sooner than he wanted to for Future State. And it was sort of coming right out of, you know, because of Future State, he had to end this. And there's no sight of when Legion is going to pick up again, so it kind of has, like, I was really digging the book. I was really digging Legion, and this Legion of Superheroes Future State was pretty damn awesome. Brainiac 5 confronts Gold Lantern about him not being from Oa or the Green Lantern, so that Gold Lantern, who we thought was, is going to be something different. Morbius, Bond of Blood. This is from Marvel Comics. This was really good one shot. Really good. Morbius tries to save the son of his best friend, who he killed when he turned into a vampire. So he feels guilty about killing his best friend, and is trying to protect his son. The cure is supposedly found in Mr. Hyde. So Morbius makes a deal with him. So he wants to save the son by getting the cure from Mr. Hyde. So, you know, Morbius says, I'll make a deal with you. He injects the kid, and then the kid dies, and then goes and beats the living hell out of Mr. Hyde by biting him and absorbing his powers. So Mr. Hyde sort of lied to him, and Morbius didn't like that. Digitally, I was revisiting Static. Static 1 through 5, Static busts up a white gang who is trying to grab Frida. Later in that same gang attacks a school, and the lead gangbanger has fire powers and defeats Virgil. Issue 2, Virgil finds out that the gangster is using his power and uses it against the bad guy to defeat him. Also, he gives the origin story with the Big Bang. The Big Bang is kind of what started the Milestone Universe off. So his origin, he got his powers from the Big Bang. In issue 3, he is stalked by some Tarmac character sent out to test him by Holocaust. Holocaust, if you remember correctly, is from the Blood Syndicate, which is that gang. The next issue, Holocaust and Static invade a gangster's house, and Holocaust almost kills his boy, the gangster's boy. That is when Virgil knows something's up and turns on Holocaust. And then there's a religious gathering where Static is going to speak at, and tries to unite the black and whites together, but their gathering is broken up by a character called Commando X. The 4 out of 5, the last 4 out of 5, is New Shadowhawk number 4. Shadowhawk tries to convince Blowfish, a criminal crime lord, that Scrapelli and the Vendetta are coming for him. He fights with Shadowhawk and dies because he does not accept Shadowhawk's help. The police chief gets captured in front of Lewis Jax, and Christina Reed. The Shadowhawk series is very weird because this detective police chief is so fixated on taking down Shadowhawk that he's losing track of all the crime that's going on in his precinct and in his city. It's very strange, but he wants to take down Shadowhawk. So it's a mystery of who is Shadowhawk? And you kind of learn that over the course of this series. They throw a lot of red herrings in, that's for sure. You got 5 out of 5. Redemption number 1 from AWA. A woman gets a death sentence for performing an abortion on a young girl in a post-apocalyptic world where water is precious and so is protection. Her daughter has to seek help from an old female bounty hunter. We then get into Hellblazer Rise and Fall number 2 through 3. Constantine has unleashed a demon into Billy as a kid who was one of his friends growing up. Now Billy is using his father to create a log of despair. I don't know what I mean by log. But to create, I guess, despair. And 1% are dying by thinking they have wings and just jumping to their deaths. Hellblazer works with Gary the Ghost, Satan, and his detective friends to take down Billy. The Last Witch number 1 from Boom Studio starts off with a dare contest between our main female character, Cerise, and Padraig. I can never pronounce the names. I remember we figured it out in a Geek Brunch, and now I don't know how to do it again, to go towards the witch's castle. Then the father arrives and grounds his daughter on her birthday as they were about to go to a fair, and she has to now take care of her sick brother rather than going to the festival in town as she planned. Her and her brother go off while the father is gone at the festival and run into the grandmother. Later, they both head toward the castle, and she loses her brother, Brahm. Haha, number 1 and 2 from Image Comics. I love this series. A day in the life of a clown where everything goes horribly bad, but for some strange reason, he just keeps a smile on his face. The second story is about a woman who dresses as a clown and takes her daughter away from the father to go to Funville. She's sort of like a prostitute. The daughter later becomes a stripper called Rudolph. We have Crimson Flower number 1 from Matt Kent as a young girl an assassin killed her father. Now she works for a pharmaceutical company as a seller to track down the assassin who killed her father, and then runs into this old man with this crazy-ass beard, and he's an assassin of poison, and she has to take him down. Really good series. Loved it. Haha, Crimson Flower, Last Witch. They're all incredible. So that wraps it up, and I did it. I did 4 weeks and got us through February, so maybe next time I can get through March. How about that? And then I can get close to catching up. So I want to thank you for listening. Again, this is Mike M's Weekly Reads. You can reach me at geekbrunchpodcast.com. On the website, you can download that episode from there, or you can get it from iTunes or Stitcher or any of those feeds. Subscribe. And you can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch. That's the best way to get. Or you can send me email at mike@comicbooknoise.com. I want to thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful Friday. Take care. Bye.